Hi, everybody. Kurt Schlichter here for Unredacted Town Hall VIP Podcast. Sorry about the technical difficulties we had last week. We're redoing this one because Arena somehow connected her phone and then one of her messages started getting read and it was just a thing. So she's unhooking.
The car likes me more than you.
Yeah, Car submits to my argument.
I will not apologize for being amazing.
Anyway, I wanted to get right into it, fighting with people on Twitter. And one of the ones that I'm currently having issues with is that ridiculous clown, the martyr mate guy.
Right.
Remember, he's one of the new historians.
Yes.
Who's like edgy because he says, well, you know, maybe Hitler's not that bad. When I was in Stuttgart with the army, and there were still guys who had been like in the German army. You go to a fest, and they're usually, the older guys are usually nice to Americans, because we hated the Russians, too. But you get a couple beers into them, they go, you Americans, you do not understand about Hitler. He was not all bad. And I'm like, well, you know, he's pretty much all bad. There's not a lot to love there, Horst. So now we've got these new, edgy, allegedly right-wing guys, and they suck in a lot of young people. With their bullshit.
Yes.
Because young people don't learn anything about history. And then they have this guy come on and start, well, he did 30 hours of podcasts on this historical subject. It's possible to have 30 hours of ahistorical bullshit. Okay, which he proves. So anyway, he was on there and now he's really mad at, surprise, the Jews. Because he's mad that Israel is fighting its war. Again, this is a guy who's allegedly a historian. And his idea is, well, Israel shouldn't be doing this to the Palestinians.
Oh.
Why not? Because it's mean. This is a historian. It's mean. Okay, let me introduce you to some historical phenomena that you might be unaware of, like the Romans and the Mongols. When you fight a war, you win it. What's the substitute for victory? Defeat. Okay, there's no kind of like, sorta. You either win or you freaking lose. And the Israelis have not done enough to win, in my opinion, but they've done too much for martyr made. And there's a lot of retarded people on the on our side who are like, well, you know, Israelis are really mad. There's a lot of Palestinian children starving. Well, again, and I know I ask this all the time, why do you somehow believe I am morally compelled to care more about Palestinian children than Palestinians do? Because I'm telling you right now, I don't. I do not. Here's 100 things I give a shit about. Palestinian children, not on the list. Why? They're not my children. That's the Palestinians' job. And the Palestinians can avoid being bombed and shot at and having their garbage city reduced to even more rubble by not going on rape, murder, and kidnap sprees. Very simple. If it's so bad,
well, they,
why is the answer never surrender?
They could have given over all the hostages, too. They could have done that to avoid this.
Yes, and that would have worked with the Israelis. It would not have worked with me.
No.
I would say,
the Israelis.
Yeah, I would say, give me all the hostages, and then we'll talk. And, okay, the talk is, now I'm going to wipe you out. I'm going to kill all the boss guys. I'm going to level your cities. I'm going to drive your people into other countries. You have ceased to have a place because of what she did.
But of how these guys do the immoral argument of, or morally illiterate argument of proportionality. And I'm like, are you insane?
I don't believe in proportionality.
It's just ridiculous.
Well, look. And these guys will tell you, yeah, you know, America hasn't won a war since World War II. We suck. Well, first of all, I was there. It was called Desert Storm. And it was a pretty magnificent victory. Why did we win? Because we didn't play this bullshit games. We found the enemy and we killed him. We killed him until he begged us to surrender. That's how you win a war. Did we do that in Vietnam? No. Did we do that in Iraq? No. Did we do that in Afghanistan? No. No, we didn't do it in any of those places. Hence, we did not win. If you're going to fight, that implies that it is worth winning. And if it is worth winning, freaking win it. Oh my gosh. And of course, they don't teach you this at the War College either, because this would be considered mean, right? Or at least the old War College. Under Pete Hegseth, maybe they'll get back to, you know, winning. But there's no substitute for victory. You just either win or you are defeated. And it's either now or later. And it's, well, you know, the innocent Palestinian people, they're not our enemy. They literally murder dozens of Americans. They kidnapped a bunch. And they want us dead. And frankly, the Israelis are doing the job we should be doing, because they're standing in our place defending Western civilization against these 7th century barbarians. The idea that somehow, because George Bush screwed up Iraq, which he did, and Afghanistan, which he and other folks did, by not fighting it the way it should have been fought, or not fighting it at all, as the case may be, does not mean we don't have enemies. This whole Republican, they now have the peace party. Okay, there's a difference between peaceful and being a freaking sap. And frankly, too many conservatives fall for this BS. Anyway, I'm very excited about President Trump's trip back to the Middle East. I thought that went amazingly well. He's bringing billions upon billions of dollars of business back to the United States. And of course, he gets no credit for it. The regular media is much more concerned with, you know, freaking ridiculous nonsense. But he is reordering the Middle East. Well, my favorite thing is the free airplane. That's Donald Trump's taking an airplane as a bribe. They're actually giving it to the Air Force, which will go over it with a fine tooth comb and fix it up, because Boeing, a giant corporation like most giant corporations, is completely useless and can't build an Air Force One. So the media wants to make this all about anything but the fact that Donald Trump is going and getting our allies in line together against Iran. And I think removing the sanctions on Syria, which is now run by a guy who was a terrorist and still hates America. You know, interesting call. I don't know if it's going to work or not, but I'll tell you, I'm going to trust Trump. And I'm going to trust Trump because he keeps doing things. We're told it's going to be a disaster, and then everything's fine. Like our 401 case. Now, you know I watch our money like a hawk, right? Mm-hmm. Because I'm Scottish.
Mm-hmm. Cheap.
Cheap.
Well, that is Scottish.
That's a Scottish thing.
It is cheap, doesn't it, in Scottish? Or in Celtic?
Being Scottish is associated with cheapness. And I know where every buck is. And I was not happy about what happened on paper. But I was willing to say, well, you know, short-term pain, long-term gain. We're back to nearly where we were, within a few thousand bucks. Some stuff, like my Tesla stock, holy crap! We made a lot of money off Tesla, baby.
Fantastic.
Thank you, Elon. But look, Trump keeps succeeding. And, you know, he's doing a lot of things that are generally conservative, but not completely conservative. I wrote about this at Town Hall, where I was like, well, you know, you guys with your allegedly conservative views are not taking into account that the system is not conservative. You are saying you must act in a specific conservative way that is premised on a conservative system, which we don't have.
Right.
Like with the pharmaceutical thing, right? Trump's like, well, I'm going to order that prices be reduced. That's not the free market. Okay, it's not the free market now. It's not the free market now. You can't say, hey, acting within the context of the system as it exists does not violate conservative principles, because it's not a free market system, right? How are drug prices determined now? Is it through competition, which is the free market way? No, government action, whether by granting monopolies, effective and otherwise, whether by purchasing power through Medicare, Medicaid, whether by just laws and orders and regulations. So the big pharmaceutical companies Why do you think they're lobbying all the time? Because that's how you control prices, right? It's not, you know, when I was a lawyer, the way prices get controlled is not the government. We could raise or lower our prices. And I would raise them as high as I possibly could and argue with the clients, and eventually we come to a deal. That's not how you do it with drug prices. If it was a free market, right? Drugs are like super cheap in Mexico and Canada, supposedly, right? Mm-hmm. We drive down to Mexico, load on up. Can't do that. You cannot do that. If you come back with a whole bunch of drugs, hey, I'm bringing my bunch of drugs back, I'm going to sell them. Nope. Illegal. Don't tell me it's a free market and that the system's now going to be basically access to the government to determine prices, and then freaking wet yourself when we use access to the government in our own interest. I would prefer a free market. I don't see any good reason why we shouldn't be able to go to Canada and get drugs and, you know, sell them. Why can't my local, you know, Rite Aid or whatever, CVS, Walgreens, go to Canada and say, hey, man, I can get my Ozempic a lot cheaper. Why doesn't that happen? I'd love that to happen. It can't happen. So you can't really have price control. So anyway, bottom line, Trump is just doing stuff that's working out. And the economy's better. You know inflation was way down, right? Inflation's like 2.3%. A huge drop. Citibank, which cares about such things, basically said, you're going to leave me alone here, too. You got to go. Okay. You guys do your thing.
Have a great weekend.
Okay. Citibank, which cares about such things, was predicting a recession. Now it's not predicting a recession. Now it's like, well, we really don't think it's going to be a recession now. I could have told you that. The fact is, Trump governs well. And things are better when Trump is doing what he wants to do, which drives the left insane. Because the left and the establishment, to the extent they differ, have an unbroken track record of failure. They just suck. They suck and suck and suck. And then Trump comes along and succeeds by doing things that they say either can't be done or shouldn't be done or are immoral to be done. So I'm very happy with where Trump's going. And I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt on stuff. So I'm giving the benefit of the doubt on Syria. All right? Normally, terrorist state or have been run by guys who are terrorists. I don't know. Well, you know, he's over there. Trump's over there. He's talking to the locals, making deals. I don't know what's going on in the background. But, you know, maybe it works. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it doesn't. Somebody once said that Trump has no sunk costs. He cuts his losses. When he's done, he makes a U-turn. I like that. If it isn't working, stop doing it. The secret of holes is to stop digging. If you're in a hole, stop digging. And Trump does that. So I'm willing to give Trump the benefit of the doubt. There's just so much going on, and there is always so much going on that you get exhausted and you get overwhelmed, especially if you're the media. One thing that I love is that conservative media is not letting up on the Joe Biden thing. Have you heard the Robert Hur tapes with Biden? Bo was killed in the Normandy, Okinawa. I have a hat. Where's my hat? Dr. Jill, where's my hat? You know, if those had been released as they were supposed to be, they were actually subpoenaed, and Merrick Garland, another towering establishment figure like the ridiculous James Comey, who of course knew what 8647 was supposed to mean, refused to release him to a subpoena. He violated a congressional subpoena. Steve Bannon, who had a reason not to violate the subpoena, right, executive privilege, got sent to jail for that. Merrick Garland, nah, because we have two systems of justice here in this country, which is complete crap, and I'm tired of it. But Think of what would have happened. First of all, it would have been better for the Democrats if the Her tape had come out. So I'm kind of glad it didn't, because A, it got to show, you know, the journalists for what they were, liars, and the establishment for what they are, liars. But it also kept them from making a change earlier when they could have got somebody besides Kamala Harris, because, you know, Kamala Harris was always going to lose. And I always knew she was going to lose. And I think I told you guys, I think she's going to lose. I think the fact is she's just a repellent person. She's just a fool and a clown and ridiculous. And Trump is going to beat her. And of course he did. What if they got somebody, you know, better in through a process? A process where they eliminated people who, like Kamala Harris, were, you know, always going to be defeated. Maybe they put somebody in who would have done better. And I'm not sure who that would have been. Maybe Shapiro. Josh Shapiro might have gotten in and done better. Of course, she refused to have him in because, of course, Jewish. What an idiot. When it's so obvious who you should pick as a running man. I mean, it is Tim Walz. I mean, her most major choice was a freaking human abortion. But if the Her tape had come out earlier and people had seen it, it probably would have had the same effect as the debate had. And he would have had to get out. Well, or he could have BS'd his way through it. And I think they could have covered for him and excused him, which would have been great. Except, you know, we wouldn't have had the debate, because after that, they were never going to debate if those tapes had been public. What they would have done, and frankly, what they should have done if they were as cunning as they think they are, is, well, I'll never platform an insurrectionist, so I'm not going to debate Trump. That would have been a tough sell, especially with the Her tapes out. Hey, he can't, I don't think he can debate, and now he won't debate. Why won't you debate? But, you know, that wouldn't have reached a lot of normal people, because a lot of normal people, you know, still get their news from the mainstream media. Way too many people do. I mean, what kind of moron do you have to be to get your news from the mainstream media right now? I mean, really, how dumb do you have to be? But I just love these revelations. And here's my thing to Jake Tapper. Right. He's got the new book out with Alex Thompson, Original Sin. How they hid Biden's total incompetence. And Jake Tapper's thing is, well, you know, they lied to people like me. OK. Here's the deal. I literally live on the other side of the country. Right. Literally live a continent away. I'm a lawyer. I was a lawyer all the time. I did writing on the side. I knew it years ago. You were here with me calling him senile and desiccated and a creepy old pervert. You guys were here. You know. I've been saying it for years. How did I know all this and Jake Tapper didn't? It's Jake Tapper's job. He has one job. Give us the news. I think president is senile and incapable of performing the basic function of office. I think that's big news. But I don't know who am I. I'm not a professional licensed journalist. So, I mean, I just think it, and of course I wasn't alone. It's not like, you know, Kurt saw it. No one else did. No, all of us saw it. They didn't see it because either they didn't want to see it or they did see it and they're just lying to us. And a lot of people, well, you know, they were fooled. Look, they're dumb. Make no mistake. A lot of these people are very, very dumb. But it's hard to be, you know, that dumb. No, the fact is they knew what was going on. They suspected what was going on. All their friends were talking about it. There were rumors about it. People were discussing it. They knew it. And they didn't say it because they wanted the Democrat to win. It's not hard. It's not complex. It is not something that anybody needs to think about, it is very simple. They lied. They knew what was happening and they didn't tell us. And as a lawyer, I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you to the journalists, because now lawyers aren't considered the biggest lying scumbags in American culture. Journalists are. This is great for us lawyers. We're feeling good, much like Jimmy Carter was feeling good looking at Joe Biden. Woo-hoo! Now I'm not the worst president in the last 100 years. As a lawyer, thank you, American media, for being so relentlessly shitty. Okay, that is plenty for today. Again, sorry about last week. Hopefully this one works. I will check it. Follow me at Twitter at Kurt Schlichter. Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday are my town hall columns. Of course, for you VIP members, I want to thank you for being VIP members. Consider becoming platinum VIP members, because you got all sorts of special stuff. For you VIP members, you get the stream of courteousness. And if you think I'm rambling here, well, watch me ramble on video, because that takes it to another level completely. I also want you to go out and get my book, which is my book and Irina's book. Los Angeles, Silver Bullets on a Sunset Strip is a lot of fun. Check it out. Los Angeles, Silver Bullets on a Sunset Strip. A lot of fun. People are loving this book. And they are buying this book, and that is very gratifying. Thank you very much. Okay, that's enough for me. Again, thank you, VIP members. Talk to you next week. Bye.